invite you to turn with me to the Gospel of Luke. Luke, the first chapter and the fifth verse. Luke chapter 1, verse 5. Now, the traditional Christmas story is often thought of as beginning in Luke chapter 2. But I want you to know that the real full Christmas story goes all the way back into Luke chapter 1, as we see how God used persons and events to usher in the birth of Christ. And so in these days leading up to our personal Christmas celebrations, I'm going to be speaking to you about those persons and events in Luke chapter 1 that ushered in the birth of the Lord Jesus Christ. And one of those persons is mentioned in verse 5. Her name is Elizabeth. Now, we know from reading further in Luke chapter 1 that Elizabeth is the relative of Mary, the mother of Jesus. Now, you noticed I said that Mary was the mother of Jesus. She is not, as many people hold to, the mother of God. It was God himself that gave Jesus his divine nature when he overshadowed Mary and she divinely conceived as a virgin. But Mary is not the mother of God. Mary is the mother of Jesus. And so Mary was the relative, some say cousin, of Elizabeth mentioned here in verse 5. Now let me tell you what Elizabeth's name means in the original language. Elizabeth's name means God is my oath, or God is my promise. It celebrates the faithfulness of God. And that's where we get the title of today's message, God is Faithful. Just a rephrasing of Elizabeth's name. And we see that God is faithful in any circumstance of life. No matter what this world throws at us, our God can be counted on. He is reliable. And I find three particular things here in this short story of Luke chapter 1, verses 5 through 7, that God is faithful in. First of all, in your notes there, God is faithful during dark days. Look there with me in Luke chapter 1, verse 5, and give me a loud, hearty amen if you've got your Bible open there. Amen. Wonderful. It says there in verse 5, there was in the days of Herod, the king of Judea. Now let's just stop right there, because that gives us a reference of time, which was a very dark period in the history of Israel. It was a dark period politically because Herod was one of the most ruthless and cruel rulers that Israel had ever had. Herod was given the title King of the Jews, but he was not a Jew. He was an Edomite. Now, I know that means absolutely nothing to you, but it might be when I explain to you who the modern-day Edomites are. You see, Herod was the ancient ancestor of those people that some people in our government identify as ISIL. I don't call them ISIL. I call them ISIS because I think that's a more adequate description of who they are. They are the descendants of Esau, and Herod, being a descendant of Esau, was also a relative to these people who many people call ISIL. Let me explain the difference between ISIL and ISIS. ISIS is the Islamic State in Iraq and Syria. But ISIL has a much broader scope, an expansionistic scope, and you might not have ever known this. ISIL stands for the Islamic State of Iraq, just like ISIS, but it goes on to say, and Levant. Well, what in the world is Levant? Levant is the greater Syria. It extends beyond the modern-day borders of Syria into most all the countries east of the Mediterranean, including Jordan. And last time I checked, Jordan is one of our allies, but the expansionistic dream of ISIS is that they'll one day bring Jordan in under their wing, but not just Jordan, Lebanon. Last time I checked, Lebanon is still not fighting against us, at least. And they are included in that greater Islamic state of Levant. And I said every country east of the Mediterranean, to the true believer in Islam's eyes, that includes Israel also. So when you say ISIL, that last letter, Levant, is an expansionistic view that includes Lebanon, Jordan, and Israel, Egypt, parts of Turkey. And so here is Herod, the ancient ancestor of these modern-day terrorists. You know, we read about Herod and some of the maniacal things that he did, some of the cruel things that he did, and we have little wonder about how his ancestors could be so cruel in their terrorist activities. Just let me tell you what a dark day it was politically under Herod. Herod was a very paranoid leader, and so he eliminated anyone that his paranoid mind conceived was a threat to him. And so he had his mother-in-law executed. But not only his mother-in-law, he had his brother-in-law executed. And this is how devious Herod was. On the date of his brother-in-law's funeral, Herod showed up and pretended to weep and be in great mourning. So he was a person that really was not truthful at all about the way he portrayed himself. But he didn't just have his mother-in-law and his brother-in-law executed because they were a threat to him or a perceived threat to him. He had his own wife executed and two of his own sons executed. He had a third son executed 5 days before his death. And then shortly before his own death, seeing that the end was near, he ordered that all the distinguished citizens of Jerusalem be arrested. And the order was given, at the moment that I die, Herod said, at the moment that I die, have all these distinguished citizens executed. Why? So that it would assure the fact that there would be weeping in Jerusalem when Herod died. What a cruel, ruthless leader. He was a terrorist with a capital T. But his terrorism didn't stop there. You can read in Matthew chapter 2 about when he learned that there was a new king of the Jews on the scene, and the wise men came and visited him and said they had seen his star in the east. And so Herod, being threatened by these Parthians, who he is having trouble with to begin with, the modern-day Iranians, said, hey, we need to remove any threat of another king of the Jews. So he ordered his soldiers to go in and to slaughter all male children 2 years old and under in Bethlehem and its surrounding district. You don't have quite as much trouble imagining how these modern-day terrorists in ISIS could be so ruthless when you look at their ancient ancestor, Herod the Great. So it was a dark day politically. And you know, you don't have to be much of a preacher to make an application at this point. We are living in a dark day politically here in our United States of America, but not just here. It is a dark day politically on the world scene. And there is uncertainty all around us. and people are wringing their hands and they're wondering what is next in this dark day politically. Well, friend, I've got news for you from God's word right here. It is Elizabeth's name. God is faithful. No matter if the world falls apart around you, God will be reliable. We can count on Him. We can put our trust and our dependence in Him. But it was not only a dark day politically under Herod's reign, it was a dark day religiously. You know, this is an interesting period of time here in the first chapter of Luke. It is in what we call the intertestamental period of time. Now, what does that word intertestamental period mean? Well, it's describing the period between the Old Testament and the New Testament. And we're reading today in Luke chapter 1 about that silent period, that dark period between the last prophecy in the Old Testament and the first prophecy in the New Testament. And who would give the first prophecy in the New Testament? Elizabeth's son, John the Baptist. So how long was that period of time between the last prophecy in the Old Testament and John the Baptist prophecy in this intertestamental period of time? 400 years. God had chosen not to speak through a prophet for 400 years. Can you imagine that? God had even chosen not to even give a message through an angel, which was a very common thing in the Old Testament and later on in the New Testament. But in this 400-year period of silence, there was not even an angelic message. And so there were people living in Jerusalem during this dark time politically saying, boy, it's a dark time for me spiritually too. Because it's been a long time since God has spoken. And I need a word from God. I need some direction in my life. You know what? I'm speaking to some people here today that would say I'm living in that same dark period, Pastor. Well, you don't know what I'm going through today. You don't know how dark and dismal and depressing and discouraging it is for me today. And boy, I try to be faithful. I pray and I'm needing to make some decisions and I'm looking to God. I'm looking to heaven for an answer, and I'm just pleading with God to give me some direction, to give me a word. And it's like the heavens are silent. Some of you are going through a personal midnight of the soul, and you understand what it was like to live in the dark days of Herod the Great. But God was faithful. And God still is faithful, no matter what you're going through in your life. But go on with me here and notice another period of time that God is faithful. God is also faithful, number two in your notes, during delayed developments. Read the second part of verse 5 with me. We read about King Herod in the first part. We read about another guy in the second part of verse 5. A certain priest named Zacharias of the division of Abijah. His wife was of the division, or his wife was of the daughters of Aaron, and her name was Elizabeth. What a wonderful couple this was, Zacharias and Elizabeth. Zacharias was a priest, but we know from skipping on down into verse 7 that he was an old man. Not only him, but his wife. In verse 7, it says they were well advanced in years. And compounding that fact was that Zacharias never had a big ministry. We know from reading later on there in chapter 1 that he was from the hill country. He was just from the rural part of Israel. So he had a small ministry there. And he was old. A lot of people would have said, man, your prime time has passed you by. Every defining moment in your life has passed you by, Zacharias, and, and you're in the golden years of life, and there's nothing much more to look forward to than to dying and going to be with God in heaven. I mean, that's the way many people would have outwardly observed Zacharias's life. But I want you to know that God specializes in the type of people that Zacharias was. You see, you don't have to be a senior citizen to experience delayed developments in your life professionally. There's some people that I'm speaking here today. There's some teenagers. There's some college students that have put in their applications, maybe for certain schools or applications for certain jobs, and you're just waiting. You're waiting. You've been waiting and waiting and waiting. And the developments that you're so much looking forward to have been delayed. This job which you so much want, for some reason that doesn't make sense to you, has been delayed. There's some people here that have been passed over for promotions and raises and recognitions, and it just doesn't make any sense to you, these delayed developments in your life. Well, now you understand how Zacharias felt, except compound the fact that he is now in the twilight years of life, and it looks like what he'd always hoped for was never going to happen. God always specializes in using people like Zacharias that have had those kinds of disappointments in their lives, small situations professionally. You know, a lot of people would have guessed that God would have chosen his son to be born in the holy city of Jerusalem. But God didn't choose that. In Micah 5 verse 2, it says that he chose Bethlehem because it was small. It was indistinguished. God specializes in using humble people in humble situations. And Zacharias is about to have something wonderful happen in his life. He's about to be chosen to go in, and it's a once a year deal, to burn incense in the temple. Only one priest did it a year, and you could only do it once in a lifetime, and many priests lived an entire lifetime and never had that honor. But here's Zacharias now as a senior citizen. God gives him that honor. By the way, you know what Zacharias' name means? Zacharias' name means God has remembered. For those of you who think that God has forgotten all about you, that he's not concerned about these things that you're so desperately longing for, this job, this school, this application, this promotion, this recognition, God has not forgotten you. He knows your address. He knows the number of hairs on your head. He knows all about you. And compound the fact that Zacharias and Elizabeth were not only old, but according to verse 7, they were without child. They had probably wanted to have children their entire married life, probably dreamed of it from their newlywed years, but God had not allowed them to have children in that period of their life. And now they're senior citizens, and boy, you talk about ranking in the area of impossibilities. This really did. I mean, it's just not going to happen medically, Zacharias and Elizabeth. I mean, this development that you have wanted so much has been delayed. It's probably just been denied considering your age. Well, you know, I've said it many times from this pulpit. God's delays are not God's denials. And that's certainly true in the life of Zacharias and Elizabeth. We don't forget Elizabeth's name. Her name means God is my oath. God is my promise. God is faithful. No matter how I am disappointed by the dark days I'm living in, no matter how disappointed I am about delayed developments in my personal life, in my ministerial life, in the life of my career, in the life of my education, God is still there. God is still reliable. And with God, nothing is impossible. I'll tell you another area God is faithful in. Look here in verse 6, talking about this godly couple living in dark days and in days of delayed development. It says in verse 6, and they were both righteous before God, walking or observing all the commandments and ordinances of the Lord blameless. They were upright. I like that term used there, that they were walking, because that describes discipleship. You know what a disciple is? A disciple is someone who is following the Lord. They are walking after the Lord. And that's what this elderly couple that had been disappointed by the dark days they were living in, about delayed developments in their life, they didn't say, well, I'm just going to stop reading my Bible. I'm going to stop going to church. I'm going to stop going to Sunday school. I'm going to stop praying to God, because all of that has been fruitless and worthless for me. No, verse 6 says, no matter how much they were disappointed by their dark days, no matter how much they were disappointed by their delayed developments, they continued to be faithful, walking with God, trusting Him. And friend, I want you to know that no matter what you're going through today, no matter how much your heart is breaking today about the darkness in and around your life and the delayed developments that you have just put all your stock in, you have put all your eggs in one basket, hoping that this is going to come true someday, but it keeps on being delayed and you keep on being disappointed. Friend, when man is faithless, God is faithful. Louis Giglio tweeted on October 17th of this year these words: if you take time out of the process, you take great out of the results. Don't despise the grind. Embrace the journey. Do you think there were times that Zacharias and Elizabeth got tired of that daily grind in anonymity and delayed developments? Do you think they ever said, you know what, I'm just too tired to go another day? Friend, I don't care how old you are. If you take time out of the process, you take great out of the results. Don't despise the grind. Embrace the journey. You know what? I'm speaking to some people here today that have never begun the journey. You have never, by faith, started following the Lord Jesus Christ. And it's no accident you're in this building today. God has made a divine appointment with you so you could hear the gospel. And that is that if you will trust God and God alone, that you'll stop trusting in yourself, but that you put your faith in Him, He will save you, and you will be well on your way to journeying in this devoted discipleship like Zacharias and Elizabeth. Some of you are on the journey, and you've had a few detours. You've had a few dead ends. You've had a few dry holes. And you've been looking for God's will about something like a church home. And you've prayed and you've prayed and you've prayed. And it could be that God is answering your prayers today. That He wants you to come in and get in on the ground floor of what God is doing here during this exciting chapter of First Baptist Noonan's history. If God is speaking to you about coming into the life of this church and linking arms with us and reaching this world for the Lord Jesus Christ, why don't you put one foot in front of the other this morning and come to the front where I'll be waiting down here for you. Whatever decision it is that you need to make, you come as we pray together. Oh, Father, we thank You so much for Jesus. We thank You for this opportunity that You now give us to follow You. And I pray for those who are in the throes of a decision. Father, I pray that they would put one foot in front of another, that they would be devoted in their discipleship. And Father, if You're calling them to this church, Father, that they'd be faithful, they'd be obedient. Father, if You're calling them to Yourself for salvation, that they would come to You by faith. Father, for those that have already begun the journey, but they've gotten tired of the grind and they've stepped away from Bible study, they've stepped away from the church, Father, I pray that they might embrace the grind and that they might journey with you. And I ask all of this in Jesus' name. Amen.